Tonight we're going to continue on our spiritual health regimen, and we want to look at the scripture that tells us that we should overcome evil with good. Overcoming evil with good. That sounds easier perhaps than it is. We think, well, we'll just make everybody be good. Wouldn't that be great? We'll just make everybody do what's right. Well, unfortunately, forcing people to do right is not what the scriptures are telling us we need to be doing. Now, many times, certainly in the Old Testament with the Israelites, they either put people to the sword or else they converted to Judaism. The religion of Islam still today practices much that same kind of, either you convert to our religion or else we'll destroy you. But that's not what Christ taught. That's not what His apostles taught either. Instead, they taught us that we, through our love and our goodness, would convince people was right. Not force them, but convince them. The old saying says, a man forced against his will is of the same opinion still. Well, you can make people do certain things by force, but you haven't changed what they believe about that particular thing. And sometimes that type of statement is used to tell us, well, you can't legislate morality and those kinds of things. You can't make laws to force people to do what's right. Well, of course, that's mainly what our laws are, our attempts to force people to do what is considered to be right. That's why we have laws against stealing. That's why we have laws against killing. That's why we have laws against rape and other sexual molestation of children and all. That's why we have those laws. We're trying, at least, if even though we can't force them to do what's right, we want to at least be able to punish them if we catch them doing what's wrong. And that's why our nation has those laws. But certainly we understand that you can't, by a law, make people do what's right. There are some people who are going to do wrong regardless. So how then do we overcome evil with good? If we can't force people to do good, if we can't force them to do right, how are we going to overcome? Romans chapter 12, we want to begin in verse number 14. Here, Paul spends several verses explaining to us that we have to have a different mindset. We have to change the way we think, because the world we live in thinks about things the wrong way. So when he tells us about overcoming evil with good, here's what he tells us, beginning in verse 14 of Romans chapter 12. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And we talked about this kind of an idea a little bit in our class on Wednesday night. And it seems like these things always come around at the same time. So I want to talk about this passage then. How can we overcome the evil with good? The idea here is that if we will continually show Christianity as the better way, if we will continually show the good that comes from treating others as you would like to be treated, if we can show the benefit of kindness, and how much is gained by developing friendships instead of making enemies, then the hope is that others will see the difference and that they too will want what we have. But we've got to live it in our lives, and we've got to go all the way. We've got to really show people the difference. It's amazing that some of the times in history that Christianity grew the most were during times when it was being actively persecuted. Now, you would think that during a time when the church was being persecuted, the Christians would have needed to be more secretive and less evangelistic even, we might think. But the fact of the matter is that it was during those times that people saw the clear difference between what it meant to be a Christian and what it meant to be a part of whatever those who were doing the persecuting believed in. So we have to make sure that people can see that clear distinction. One of the key characteristics of Christianity is treating all people, even our enemies, with the respect that we would like to have from others. Luke 6:31. Just as you want men to do likewise. That's the way we're to treat her. That's the golden rule, we call it. And yet, so many times, even though we speak of the golden rule, we don't live the golden rule. And of course, we spent an entire lesson talking about treating others as we would want to be treated. But when we do that, we overcome evil with good. Because we don't treat people by repaying them and getting vengeance and getting even, but instead, we show Christ living in us. We show what is good, and we can overcome the evil. We may not necessarily overcome that particular person who's being evil toward us, but others will watch, and they will see the difference in the way that we react compared to the way that that other person reacts toward us. They'll see that and recognize the difference. Our purpose as Christians is to bring people to salvation through Christ. Doing good to those who are doing evil is one way that we overcome evil with good. There are people who are converted as a result of the fact that some Christian showed them kindness when they didn't deserve it. And they realize that the Christians have something that is desirable, something that I want. Doing good is the best way to overcome or defeat our enemies. We might not believe that. But that certainly, even as a nation, we try to do that. What happened when the tsunami hit in Indonesia and a lot of those people who were being affected by that were of the Islam religion, they were Muslim people who were affected by that? We could have said, well, we're at war with a Muslim nation, so we're not going to help those people. We're having problems by being attacked by radical Islam, and we're not going to help those people because they believe the same thing. But instead, the money, the food, all of the things that were poured out to help those people who were suffering over there, it should have been an indication to them that we're not their enemy, that we're not trying to hurt them, that we don't want to hurt them, but we instead want to help them. But the same thing, of course, must be true of us on an individual level. We've got to show, by doing good, even to those who are doing evil, that things can be better, and that we care about them, that we love them, that we want what's best for them, even though they're not showing us that same courtesy. We're going to look at three people in the New Testament who teach us about overcoming evil with good. First of all, since we're here in Romans, we'll talk about what Paul said. Paul said, overcome evil with good, here in Romans 12, 14 through 21. He says, bless and don't curse. So that's the first thing that we need to always keep in mind. Bless, don't curse. We go around cursing people out every time that they do us just a little bit wrong or cut us off in traffic or anytime they look at us funny. Well, they're not going to see Christ living in us like that. We've got to bless and not curse. Even, he says, bless those who persecute you. And that's a stretch. That's hard. That's not an easy thing to want to do. And yet, we're told that if we'll do that, it's going to draw a clear line between those who are Christians and those who aren't. It's going to make people recognize the difference. But then secondly, in verse 15, we see that we need to have empathy. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. If somebody's happy, be happy with them. Don't be jealous and envious of them. But be happy with them. If someone's sorrowing, don't be happy about that. Even if it's your enemy, don't be happy about that. But be sorrowful with them. Cry with them. Give them a shoulder to cry on. Have empathy. And then he says, don't be self-wise or conceited or building yourself up in your own opinion. Don't be thinking more highly of yourself than you ought. Sometimes we think we've got everything all figured out, and I know everything, and you don't know, and so I'm going to look down my nose at you. We need not do that. We need to realize that the blessings that we have are from God. They're not because we're so special or because we've done something so wonderful that we've deserved all of the good things that have happened to us. He says even to condescend, to associate even with good for anyone. Jesus was not afraid to be seen with everyone. Because he himself said, it's not those who are well that need the physician, but those that are sick. Now, that doesn't mean that we condone their deeds if they're doing evil, or that we engage in those deeds. But we need not be afraid to talk to anyone. Say, well, that person, you know, I want to talk to them. They wouldn't listen to the gospel. We don't want to share the gospel with them. They're so deep in sin. They'd never come out of it. I'm not going to try to convert them. But we need to understand instead that those many times are the very people who need Jesus the most and who realize they need him. Those who think things are going well, those who are satisfied with their life, they got money in the bank, and they've got a nice house and a nice car, and they've got a good job, and they've got everything going for them. They don't see any need for Jesus. They think they've got it all on their own. So we need to look out for those who need Jesus and who will be willing to see their need for Jesus as well. But then, of course, we cannot return evil for evil, verse 17 tells us. And this is probably the one thing that we have to work on the most. Because everything we've been taught from the time we were children even is, well, if they do you wrong, then you get even with them. You get them back. And that's the thing that our society teaches us. They make movies about it. They make TV shows about it. They sing songs about it. Somebody does me wrong, so I'm going to go do them wrong to get back even with them. The problem, of course, is if you get even with them, then you both wind up in the grave. That's where you wind up, because you'll both be even then, 6 feet under. Of course, they don't really bury people 6 feet under anymore. But that's where you wind up even. That's the only way you get even, is you both wind up dead. And that's certainly not what we want. Instead, we want to get ahead. And so we cannot choose to repay evil for evil. And then, of course, being at peace with all. Oh, there again, so easier said than done. But we talked about this in class Wednesday night a little bit, that we can't allow someone else to push our buttons or to control our lives. Sometimes we're almost like little computers, that somebody knows that if they say this or do that, it'll set us off and we'll do just what they want us to do. We'll do just exactly the wrong thing. We've got to overcome that. We are not computers. We are not programmed so that at a certain word we have to react a certain way. We have to understand that we can be at peace with others even when they don't want to be at peace with us. We can refuse to fight. We can refuse to argue. We can refuse to get into a yelling, screaming, cursing match with them. We can just keep our mouth shut. We can just walk away. We can be at peace even when others don't. And then, of course, we must remember that vengeance belongs to God. One of the biggest things that gets us into trouble and keeps us from being able to actually overcome evil with good is our desire to take vengeance ourselves. Vengeance belongs the Lord. Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. We can't put ourselves in the place of God. We can't take vengeance into our own hands when it belongs to Him. That's stealing from God. We take something that belongs to Him. It's His place. It's His prerogative. It's His right. And then, of course, the idea there in Romans 12 and verse 20 of killing them with kindness. If your enemy's hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you'll heap coals of fire on his head. This is the same thing that's taught in Proverbs 25, verses 21 and 22. You want to overcome them? Destroy that enemy with kindness and goodness. And instead of destroying them, what you'll wind up doing is turning them into a friend. Because they can recognize how wrong they were to treat you that way in the long run. But even if they don't, and there may be some who don't, even if they don't, why would we risk our own soul? Why would we risk our own eternal destination just to get even with somebody here on earth? When we know what that kind of an attitude and allowing that evil to overcome us. That's what he said in verse 21, that don't be overcome by evil. Sometimes we feel like, well, everybody else is doing it, and this is the only way to fit in this world. This is the only way to survive. It's either kill or be killed. It's a dog-eat-dog world. And you've got to stand up for yourself and fight, or you'll just be destroyed yourself. Well, it's better to be destroyed than to be overcome by evil. It's better to die doing good than to live and do evil. And we always, I know that. But knowing it is only half the battle. Practicing it, that's the important part. It's not what you know, it's what you do that makes the difference. And so we've got to put that into practice. Do not be overcome by evil. Now let me ask you then, was Jesus overcome by evil when he died on the cross? No. He was killed, yes, but he was not overcome. Was Paul overcome by evil when he was put in prison? Was Stephen overcome by evil when he was stoned to death? Was James overcome by evil when he was beheaded? No. They overcame evil with good by dying. Now hopefully we won't have to go that far. But if we do, it's better to die for doing good than to live and do evil and be overcome. There were many during the first couple of centuries who, as the Roman government began to persecute Christians in earnest, and they began to actually execute Christians on a regular basis because of their Christianity, there were some who denied the faith, who not only denied the faith, but also turned in their fellow Christians, gave them over in the hopes that they would have their lives spared. You see, they were overcome by evil. They were allowed to think, or they allowed themselves to think, rather, that living was better, was more important. And so because of that, they sacrificed others' lives so that they could have their own life. And those who they sacrificed, of course, who went to the grave as martyrs for Christ, those weren't the ones who were overcome. It was the ones who had turned them over, turned them in, and given in, and denied Christ. Those were the ones. They had names even for the various groups. And one of the groups, those who would remain faithful, they were called confessors. They would refer to someone, he's a confessor. Not just a Christian. He's a confessor because he confessed Jesus Christ. Even at the sword's edge, even at the point of a gun, as we would say today, would we be able to do that? We need to strive to grow to the point where we would. We may be called on to do that. So we see that Paul said to overcome evil with good. Jesus also said overcome evil with good. Matthew 5 and verses 38 through 48, Jesus in this section clearly teaches us that we should not take our actions into the realm of evil for any reason. Notice what he says. You've heard that it's been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say unto you that you resist not evil. Or if we don't resist, we'll be overcome. No, that's not what he means. He doesn't mean don't resist doing evil. He means if someone is treating you wrong, don't resist them. Don't fight. That seems backwards, doesn't it? But notice what he says. Whoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. After a while, they get tired of beating you. Well, that doesn't sound very pleasant, does it? But that is what he tells us. Turn the other cheek. And if someone will sue you at the law and take away your coat, let him have your cloak also. Somebody wants my coat? Okay, I'll give you my coat and I'll give you my shirt. You don't have to take me to court here. You can just have them. I saw a movie. I don't know how many of you have heard of The Buttercream Gang. It's kind of a cute little show about these kids that went around doing good. They were a gang of do-gooders instead of like most of the gangs in the world today. But there was one child that had gone to the big city and he'd gotten corrupted and he came back and he was trying to rob the man who ran the local little grocery store. And the fellow at the grocery store said, "Oh, you need some money? And he just gave him all the money in the cash register. And he goes, "What are you doing? I'm trying to rob you." He said, "No, you need it. You take it." And he made the fellow money. How can you rob somebody if they give it to you? You can't rob them then. And it made him angry. It made him very upset because he was trying to rob this guy and the guy was just giving it to him. And we need to understand that kind of a principle. If somebody wants to take your coat away, hey, give him two sets of clothes. He needs a set of clothes that bad. He's going to sue you for it. Y'all thought suing was something that was new to our age. That's been going on for thousands of years. Somebody's going to take you to law to sue you for your coat. But notice what he says. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go too. We've talked about going the second mile, going the extra mile. Well, here's Jesus telling. So what we've got to understand, the Jews were under Roman law. And the Jews hated being under Roman law because they liked to rule themselves. But under Roman law, a Roman soldier could walk up to you and say, "Hey, you, pick up my pack and carry it a mile." And you didn't have a choice. You had to carry it a mile. So what many of the leading Jews of Jesus' time did was they measured out a mile in both directions from their house. And they set a marker there. Boom, boom. And when somebody said, "Carry my pack," they carried it a mile and they dropped it. "There, I carried it my mile." But what Jesus says is if he makes you carry it, you can carry it too. Instead of just doing the very least that you can get by with, do more. It's amazing how much people's attitude toward us will change if we always just do more than is expected of us. Now, of course, with some people's expectations, that's impossible. But if we do more than is asked, anytime we can do more. Go beyond. Go that extra mile. Then he says in verse 42, "Give to him that asks thee, and from him that would borrow thee, turn not away." You've heard that it's been said, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust." Jesus tells us, God has set the precedent for us. You do good to everyone. His Son comes up, good or evil, doesn't matter, sun still comes up. Rain falls on the just and the unjust. I was picking at Millie a while back because they hadn't been having any rain out there. And Millie, you hadn't been living right. And she said, "Now wait a minute, he sends the rain on the just and the unjust." So she said, even if we hadn't been living right, he's still going to... The rain God doesn't play particulars. He doesn't play favorites with those things. And when it comes to spiritual blessings, then He provides those only for those who are faithful to Him. But the physical blessings of life, He gives to everybody. He gives all the sunshine and the rain, the seasons, and all of those things necessary for us to have the crops that are planted and so forth. He gives that to all indiscriminately. And He goes on to say then, for if you love them which love you, what reward do you have? Don't even the publicans do the same? He says even the sinners will do that. Even crooks, even thieves, even murderers will like the other murderers that they hang out with. They'll like the other thieves they hang out with. They'll be nice to each other. But He says, you go beyond that. If you salute your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Don't the publicans do so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your heavenly Father, your Father in heaven is perfect. So, He tells us, it's a matter of setting your sights on perfection. Don't be satisfied with just being average. Don't be satisfied with just being like everybody else. Go beyond that. Set your sights on being like God. You want to be the children of God, then you've got to act like the children of God. You've got to be different from the people in the world. He also tells us that we should be loving toward our enemies. Luke 6:27-36. He says to love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. He uses some of the same terminology that used here in Matthew 5. But he also says, love your enemies, do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great. You will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Therefore be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. We need to understand what we deserve because of the sin that was in our lives that we could never take care of. We could never repay the debt that we owed. We sing that song, He paid a debt I could not pay. I owed a debt I could not pay. So we need to understand that those people, yes, they may be evil. Yes, they may be treating us evil. But we need to pray for them, and we need to love them because, as the saying goes, there but for the grace of God do I. If it weren't for God's grace, we could be in that same circumstance. We could be the one on the other side. And how would we want to be treated? And then finally also Peter said that we should overcome evil with good. 2 Peter 1:5-7. He says, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. We need to add these things, love, that we need to have for all people. We need to add that to our lives. We need to be filling our thoughts with good. Philippians 4:8, Paul again says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, think on these things. Those are things we need to meditate about. Those are things we need to pay attention to. Look for something good in that enemy. Something that you can compliment. Something that you can pick out, that you can build on. We talked about being builders this morning. Even in the worst of us as human beings, there's still some good. We need to pick that good out and work on that and help them overcome the evil that's in their own lives with good. Oh, we can't do it with a bomb. There's not a bomb that we could drop that would explode and send kindness and love everywhere. It doesn't work that way. We have to do it one life at a time. One evil person turned good. one who would be persecuting us turn to our side. Sometimes one can make such a difference. Look at the difference that it made when Paul was turned from doing evil to doing good. Look at the change that that made in the church. Before that time, it seemed that the Christians were content to just stay right there in Jerusalem and right around Jerusalem. And they were content to just let that be that. But once Paul came on board, he launched the ship out into the deep waters. He took off after the Gentiles, and he took off toward the ends of the earth, looking for people that he could reach. Have you turned your enemies into friends by overcoming evil with good? Or have you stooped right down to their level and attacked them on equal terms? Scriptures say that it will work. But even if it doesn't work, it's still our responsibility to do it because that's what the Scriptures tell us to do. Even if it didn't work. It didn't work for Jesus. Jesus wasn't able to turn all of his enemies into his friends by doing good. Look what he did. He fed, he healed the sick, he brought people back from the dead. Look at all the good works he did. And at one point when the Jews were about to stone him, he asked them, "For which of my good works that I've done do you stone me?" What is it that I've done that's so bad that you think I deserve to be killed for it? But they killed him anyway. We need to realize, however, that we must follow Jesus' example. Turn the other cheek. Look for the good. Pray for those who persecute us. Love those who are our enemies. If nothing else, it will help our relationship with God, even if it doesn't help our relationship with that other person. And as we begin to pray for those individuals, as we begin to see them not as our enemy, but as a person who has a soul that needs to be saved, it's going to change our relationship with them on our end, whether it changes it from their end or not. We need to think about how we can overcome good with evil. And that's a challenge. Seek out somebody. Well, you won't have to seek. Your enemies seek you out. But when somebody treats you bad, do something good for them in return. Instead of being mean or instead of just getting angry and storming off, do something kind. Say something kind. Show them the love of God living in you. See if it doesn't make a difference in your life and probably in theirs as well. If you're here tonight, you have a need to respond to the invitation. We ask that you would do so as we stand together and as we sing.